Luke chapter 1. Guess what we're talking about? Luke chapter 1. How many of you are ready to give birth? How many of you are pregnant with Jesus? We're gonna talk about birth. We're gonna talk about Mary. We're gonna talk about a little bit of Old Testament prophecy, but we're also gonna talk about being in a place where God can impart or birth within us the things that He wants to. I want you to understand the Holy Spirit hasn't quit working since Jesus was born. You know, He didn't go on vacation. He didn't say, boy, that was tough. I'm going to just kind of sit back and relax now. That's not what He's doing. And He wants to impart or He wants to birth within you a bunch of things. Look at me for a moment. A lot of people are just so anxious about doing something for God that they forget the main thing you can do for God is to sit and wait a while and let Him fill you and birth within you what He wants to do. You know, there was a story of a young man in the time of King David when Absalom had split the kingdom. And Joab was now in pursuit of Absalom, and David wanted to know what was going to happen to his son or what happened to his son. And a runner came running to David. And he ran to David without the message. He just wanted to run, so he asked Joab if he could run. He didn't have the message, but the runner behind him had a message. A lot of people just get in a place where, I want to do something for God. I got to do something for God. I want to do something for God. God's not in a panic to get you to do something for Him. God wants you to be anointed with a message, anointed with the power of God, and then He'll start sending you places where He wants you to go. Do you ever go someplace because you made up your mind to go? And it wasn't from God. I've done it. I know what I'm talking about sometimes. And so God wants to birth within you something that's important for the kingdom, and we're going to look at that in a few moments. But until we look at that, let's just look what the Holy Spirit can do in people's lives, in the life of a virgin named Mary. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Understand something. Some of your translations have taken virgin out and just put young woman. She was more than a young woman. She was a virgin. Without the virgin birth, we have no salvation. Because that would mean that Jesus would have been born into sin and someone would have to die for His sins. And so when they're talking about in your translation, I'm not saying I'm going to throw the Bible out, but you need the word virgin in there. It's imperative that Mary was a virgin. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting that was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing's impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We need to understand that the birth of Jesus was supernatural. That the birth of Jesus was supernatural. We also need to understand something. Jesus did not come into existence at the birth of his physical body. Some people think that was the first of Jesus. That's when he was created, or that's when he came into existence. Jesus has always been. This is the first time that a virgin had been impregnated by God and gave birth to the physical body of Jesus. Jesus was active in creation. How many have ever heard? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you skip down to verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus always has been, always will be, and always was and is God. Amen? Amen. So let's just not get tied up in the fact that somebody comes to you and say, well, Jesus was born, he was just a man. No, he was God-man. He was God and man at the same time he walked the face of the earth. But I want to show you some things. And there's at least four or five prophecies in the Bible about the birth of Jesus. Fact is, the first prophecy was mentioned in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And it will say, and the Bible says, I will put enmity between her seed and your seed, as God was talking to Satan. You will bruise his head and he will bruise your heel. It was coming to a place of a war between God and Satan. And Jesus was in the middle of that place where Satan bruised his heel when he died on the cross. But Jesus bruised his head, or took away his authority totally, at the resurrection. We okay? If you can find it in your Bible, there's a book called Micah. It's very interesting. In my Bible, it's page 1074. I couldn't find it, so I got the number. Okay? The book of Micah, chapter 5. The book of Micah, chapter 5. Verse number 2. Now you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. The ruler was going to come out of Bethlehem. Now look at me for a minute. How many have read the book of Acts, and you see the reason that the Jewish people, one of the reasons they did not accept Jesus is because they say, how can the leader come out of Nazareth? They called him Jesus of Nazareth because Joseph and his family lived there, but Jesus wasn't born there. How many understand that? How many remember there's no room in the inn? Where were they at? Bethlehem. So because his family was from Nazareth, and I read it and I get frustrated, I get angry sometimes, because even Herod knew that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He sent soldiers there to kill him. And so even though that is Jesus of Nazareth, his hometown was Nazareth, he was born in Bethlehem, thus fulfilling this scripture. Amen? Okay. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Other way, damn. Amy. Other way. You're doing good. I'm happy you bring your Bibles. We want to see you bring your Bibles. If you don't have one, see me. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Listen to this. How many hundreds of years? Many. Maybe a couple thousand. No, maybe not a couple thousand. Hundred, yeah, it could have been. Hundreds of years. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. A virgin shall conceive. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David over his kingdom to order and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There is scripture after scripture after scripture that prophesied in the Old Testament about the coming of Jesus. To deny the fact that this exists, and yet to have all, and I just showed you three portions of scripture this morning, to have all three of these portions of scripture line up to what is known as fact. You say, what are you talking about? What does BC mean? Before Christ. How many people use so-and-so BC? I mean, our dates are dated by before Christ and after the death of Christ. To discount the fact that Christ was born and that Christ died, you have to live in major denial. Governments all over the world declare such and such BC and such AD. It's before Christ, it's after the death of Christ, and people are saying, this isn't true. They run their calendars by these things. And yet people just come to a place, well, that can't be true. You know, he was just a historical person. How come we don't have before GW and after GW? Before George Washington and after George Washington? I mean, how come we don't go that way? How come people say before Christ and after Christ, after his death? Because he was the most significant person that's ever been born in this universe. He's the most significant person that's ever accomplished anything on the face of the earth. And there's more books written about him, more songs written about him, more people use his name derogative or positive. His name is Jesus. And he was born of a virgin. But here's where I want to go this morning, and I'm going to pick up my little pamphlet and go over this with you. Because I want us to understand something. That Jesus did everything he did. I mean, how many people have been to Mexico? How many have been to the slums of Mexico? You think there's ever any cultural shock? How about leaving heaven and coming to earth if you want cultural shock? How about leaving a place where you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords and coming to a place where every word you said, somebody picked apart and somebody wanted to kill you? Think about it. In heaven, the angels worshiped him. On earth, the man he created tried to kill him, tried to shut him up, tried to put him down. They wouldn't answer his questions, but they kept asking questions. They're like my little grandson with Kirk. Kirk was working on the sound booth, pulling his hair out, and my little four-year-old was just rapid-fire question. Why are you doing that? How come? Where'd you get it? Where'd it come from? What you doing? I mean, Kirk was standing by the door waiting for Ray and I to take him home. But with Jesus, they did the same thing. One day they came to him and said, who gives you your authority to do what you're doing? And Jesus looked at him and said, I will tell you who gave me my authority if you answer one question for me. The baptism of John, was it from God or man? Seemed like a simple question, didn't it? And they looked at him and they come together and they said, my, if we answer it was from man, he's going to say, well, why didn't you do it? I mean, if we say it was from man, he's going to say, the people are going to stone us. But if we say it was from God, he's going to say, why didn't you follow it? So they said, we can't answer you. So they come back with a question after, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? All the questions kept coming, but there was not a question, probably except one or two, that had an honest evaluation looking for an honest answer. So Jesus comes so that you and I, can be the best that we can be. He came so you and I could be the best that we could be in his power and his strength. He knew that we'd be here today. He knew who would be here. He knew that Jorgensen's tractor didn't start and that some of the stuff was freezing up out there and they couldn't make it this morning. He knew all that. He knew the conversation that you had have on the way to church. Isn't that great? Was it good? He knew what would be happening in worship. He knew everything that was going on. But he came so that we could have birth within us the divine ability and the divine impartation to walk out the life that he has for us. Look at me for a moment. You can still be more than you are. You can still flow deeper in the Spirit of God. You can still walk it out in more power. You can still walk it out with more compassion and more urgency. You can still be doing the things that God wants you to do, but not in our own strength, not sitting down at home and saying, oh, I think I'm going to do this, I think I'm going to do that. No, it's coming to a place where God births within you, just like he did within Mary, the baby Jesus. Jesus wants to birth within you divine impartation where you're going to start walking and living and flowing in the Spirit of God. Let's look at what he wants to do. Not only does he want to save you, this is going to sound stupid, but if God's only purpose, I didn't put him in order, but if God's only purpose was to save you and get you to heaven, why are we still here? Hello? If God's only purpose was to get Dwight Fehring to heaven, he could have taken me out the night I got saved. Sometimes it sounds pretty good. He wants you in heaven. There's no doubt about it. But he also wants some other things to happen. He wants you, and you can put these in any order if you want to mark them down or you can get the CD. He wants you to have the character of Jesus Christ. He wants to birth within you the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you can look at that if you want to write down a scripture in Galatians 5:22. He wants you to be filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. He wants you to walk that out. That character of God, wherever you're going and whatever the circumstances, understand that this character that's birthed within you by the Holy Spirit is not subject to circumstances. It's not here today because things are going good and gone tomorrow because things are negative. It's birthed within you by the Holy Spirit, and you walk it out, you live it. You're always full of love. You're always full of joy. You're always full of peace. You say, that's impossible. Yeah, it is, but not with God. Come on. We can do it. How many of you got up one morning, maybe this morning, everything was going good and you got a phone call and everything changed? Just a heartbeat. Just a heartbeat. But with God, circumstances may change, but His character never does. With us, circumstances may change, but when we're walking in the Spirit of the living God, we deal with the circumstances, we walk through them, and we go through them, and we still have love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, what does that mean? Nobody wants to answer. What about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness? How about self-control? I have it all the time except when I go to a buffet. Hello! Did you eat a little bit over the weekend, Stan? A little bit. We won't go there. Secondly, He wants to divinely impart to you through the Holy Spirit, and we know it's through the Holy Spirit because He calls them the manifestations or the gifts of the Spirit. He wants you to walk that out. Billy Graham was preaching in Africa. At the same time, Oral Roberts was in Africa in a hotel. He'd gone through all kinds of problems and all kinds of trouble. He'd been going through court on the City of Faith and the hospitals and everything going on, just wore out. And Mrs. Roberts saw Billy Graham and said, "Will you come and talk to my husband?" And Oral said, "Sure," and he knocked on the, Billy said, "Sure," and he knocked on the door, and Oral said, "I don't want to talk to anybody." And Billy said, "Well, just let me come in. I just want to tell you a story." He said, "A while back, I was preaching in this country, and this lady brought her baby to me and said, 'Heal my baby.'" And Billy Graham said, "Honey, I can't heal your baby." She said, "Heal my baby." That moment, Billy Graham said, the Holy Spirit, when He said, "I can't heal your baby," spoke to my heart. And Oral, I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit told me Oral Roberts would have healed it. Oral Roberts walked in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not putting down Billy Graham. This is a true story told by Billy Graham. How many times do we face situations we don't have the power? We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the insight like we are with a building, where we need God to supernaturally come on the scene and understand something. The Holy Spirit within you has a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healing, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. I want you to understand something. Whatever you're going through, the Holy Spirit is the answer and has the answer. And sometimes we just walk through and we don't think about these giftings that God has given us. On Monday evening, I got a call from a young man from northern Minnesota. Town called Cherry. It's between Virginia and Duluth. He was going to court. He'd been set up. And as I prayed with him, I just said, "Father, in Jesus' name, confuse the witnesses. Just let them not get their stories right." I got a call Tuesday night. And I was told these words. One witness lied twice on the stand, which he was caught in. Another one just couldn't put the things together. The Holy Spirit knows how to deal with situations, knows how to deal with circumstances. knows the wisdom you need, knows the knowledge you need, understands the power that's needed at that time. And you know something? You can have them all. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can just start reading these. You can just start asking God. The Bible says in 12:31, desire the gifts. Desire the best gifts. Ask God to impart them to you through the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's living within you, He's got them. They're in you. We just need to step into. We just need to be led by God. How about love and compassion? Love and compassion for those who are hurting, for those who are in need, for those who are going through trials, for those who are spiritually lost. You know, we look at things and we say, how can somebody be so dumb? You know, how can somebody do something that stupid? I was listening to Florida and Alabama played a game that was going to, the winner was going to go in the national championship. And the All-American defensive end for Florida went out and got drunk and got picked up for a DUI, suspended from the team. I watched part of that game yesterday and I could see how Alabama directed their attack toward that spot where that player wasn't. You know, when you hear something like that, you say, where's the common sense? What's going on? But you know something? Somebody needs to take that young man under their wing and say, hey, you blew it, but you don't have to do it again. God loves you. God gives you strength. God gives you hope. God gives you help. God will help you. The Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion as he looked at the multitudes because they wandered around like sheep having no shepherd. And he said, indeed, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers into his vineyard. That's us. Called by God. Anointed as God gives birth within us for his character and for his power and for his compassion. He wants to work that out in you. He wants to work that out in me. He wants us to walk it out as we desire. How about the motivational gifts? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, and cling to what is good. Look at me. Every one of you, every single one of you has one of these gifts within your spirit. Every one of you. What do you do? What do you do for people? What do you think about people? How do you want to touch people? Whether it's public speaking, whether it's prophesying, whether it's giving, whether it's teaching, whatever it might be, God has placed in each of us one of these gifts at least, maybe more. And God has stamped that on your spiritual DNA. You may be an administrator. Where do you think that came from? Oh, I just woke up one day and I became an administrator. Or I went to college and I became... No, you didn't. That started with God. And not only are you supposed to administrate on your job, but you can help the church run, and you can help the ministry succeed, and you can be one who puts things in order. It's amazing what God has given us that we look at and we just take as natural, and God has birthed things within us. You know, where do you think the ability to give came from? Somebody said, well, I'm a giver. I just love to give. I give my time. I give my money. I give this. I give that. Where did that come from? God gave it to you. God gave you not only ability, but desire. And he fashioned your life for that gifting, that motivational gift that touches people. None of us should just be pew sitters. None of us should be spiritual sponges. That we just come in and we absorb and we absorb and we absorb. But every one of you have a gift. And your gift is just as valuable as anybody else's. You say, well, I can't do that. No, you can't, but God does it through you. Look at your life. With all your eyes open and driving home today, I don't want you to close your eyes praying, God, show me what my gift is. With all that is within you as this week goes, ask God, God, what do I really enjoy doing that brings glory to you? What do I really enjoy? And you say, well, I can't speak. Not everybody can speak, but you can all talk. But as we walk that out, God begins to put your life in the great big picture that he has for his body. Keep in mind, we're all built on Jesus Christ and the apostles and the prophets. We're all building blocks so that you can minister, that you can be touched by God. You know, some of you have divine ability to help people, build something, work on cars, do things. Where'd that come from? Well, my dad did it. My dad taught me. Why do you think he taught you? So that you can help people. None of you are useless in the body of Christ. Get that out of your mind. Just don't ever look at yourself and say, I'm just holding on to get to heaven. I'm barely going to make it. I was such a bad sinner that God just couldn't use me. That's a bunch of garbage. Where'd that come from? Who told you that? God has your life planned out. God has your life planned out. Step into it. Don't be satisfied. As I was praying this morning, I said, God, I want all the gifts. I want all nine flowing through me. I want to see the fruit of the Spirit because it's all manifested in love, I believe, but it's just so unique and so blessed. But let's go one more step. I didn't get any bad calls yet about the message last Sunday, but it could happen. But what about dreams and visions and the prophetic from Joel chapter 2? In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And upon my maids and handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit in those days. What about spiritual dreams? Spiritual visions? What about going to bed some night, in the middle of the night, God wakes you up and he shows you the new building? He shows you how to reach Sisseton. He shows you plans for what he wants to do. He begins speaking into your spirit and you begin speaking out the word of God. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. The last days, I'm pouring my spirit out and these things are going to happen. I don't want to be sitting watching. Amen? I don't want to be watching what's going on. You know, it's like somebody told me a long time ago, there are three kinds of people in the world. There's those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who say, what's happening? In your life, I want to be a shaker and a mover. I want to be doing the things that God has planned and God's ordained. I want to see the visions. I want to see the dreams. I want to step into what God is doing. I'm not satisfied. but God. And God has opened doors. Thursday night in DL, as we met, a guy I'd never met before came in, and he's being sued on a racial issue because their landlord and some people set him up. So we just begin to pray with him and talk to him, and God opened some doors, and God does that. You see, it's not that God limits himself, it's that we, when we don't ask, we limit him. He wants to move the mountains. He wants to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing you can't contain. How many can accept that? But he wants you faithful. He wants you faithful, stepping into what he is. He wants to birth within you the very nature of Jesus. And you know something? There was one major supernatural birth. But if you're born again, you've already had the second one. And you might as well step into the third and fourth and fifth and sixth and just keep God birthing things within your spirit that you're bringing out. Look at me. Don't ever become a pew sitter. If you are a pew sitter, shake, rattle, and roll and get out of here and start proclaiming what God is speaking to you. Allow him to birth within you. Spend time with him. You don't have to kick down any doors to get where God wants you to be. All you have to do is walk through the doors he opens. Amen?
Amen.
You say, what are you doing to us? I want you to know that God, and read the newsletter. I want you to know that God has confidence in you. God has confidence in you. And he wants to use you. He wants to anoint you. That's why when I started this morning, don't just jump into something that you think you want to do. Don't go with no message and no anointing and no power. Step in the presence of God and let him anoint and touch and minister to you. Amen?